Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakai, and the podcast is Be You. Katie was just saying to me, really enjoyed the last few guests that we've had and last few podcasts that we've done. They've really been fun for us, and hopefully they've been fun for you. Just a reminder, if you like the podcast, take a moment and share it with someone or a dozen people. I had an interesting situation yesterday. A good friend of mine, young professional who I've coached for a long time, is moving on to take a new fantastic job. And he wanted to tell me how much I had helped him. I think he'd helped himself. I just kind of gave him, pointed him on the right path. And I believe that. I know that I do help people. It's really, I think the way that my help comes across more often than not is less sort of instructive, as in do this, do that, and more sort of storytelling and example. And I've come to realize, you know, when you're trying to get a point across, tell a story. Tell a story about something that happened to you to illustrate what the message or the point you're trying to get across. I just find people are far more receptive. They sort of think about it in terms of, did they have a similar situation? Was there something that was more like them? And so on. Try thinking about that. Anyways, he's got this fantastic job. Tell me about it. I was a bit emotionally choked up. He was a bit emotionally choked up. But this is a young kid that I met several years ago, and just a raw talent, wonderful human being, just wanted to get better. Didn't know how, and was open. We spent a lot of time playing golf together, talking, went on a couple of trips together, golfing trips. And he was just like a sponge. It was just beautiful to see. And once he saw the light, you know, he just accelerated on his own and started really taking hold of it. And I really believe that this alternative thinking that he has taken to talent really put him in a position to get this great new job. I couldn't be happier for him. I couldn't be happier for our friendship. I'm going to be a little sad because I'm not going to get to see him all the time. But it kind of led me to what I'd like people to think about. If you have kids, do me a favor and take a little time to think about what your kids are really good at, what they really enjoy doing, and what lights up their eyes when they're doing something, even if they're not really great at it, but they enjoy doing it and they enjoy getting better at it. Make a list. Try to keep an eye on them for a week or just sort of ask them, and then keep a list of the stuff they hate doing and the stuff that they're not very good at, and see if you can bring it within yourself to have a conversation to sort of say, okay, I want to help you do more of the things that you're really good at. I want to help you enjoy more of whatever you're doing. Not try to prescribe to them what we think they should be doing. I mean, this day and age, anybody over 50 that told their kids, you know, don't cryptocurrency, NFT, you know, all these things are just garbage. You know, it's terrible. Yet, you know, the world has changed. And I think the one thing that I've learned throughout all this is we don't have all the answers to the future. But a good way to get to the answers to the future is to go down a path of the things you enjoy doing. It makes you more inquisitive. It makes you more curious. It makes you work harder at finding the information because it's of interest to you. It's like myself. I love reading about human capital stories, about people. I'm not a big money story fan. I like to read about rich people or how to be rich or any of those things. And I know there are a lot of people that are like, oh God, I read Donald Trump's book or Warren Buffett's or Bill Gates. And yeah, it's great. And Steve Jobs. And yeah, they're all fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But I'm more interested myself in human capital and psychology and how people think and what motivates people. So take a week, take 2 weeks and look at your kids. And if you don't have kids, then maybe think about it in terms of work terms. Actually, take a moment, take an afternoon, take an evening, and make a list of all the people that work for you. And do a skills-based evaluation of these people. And then on another piece of paper, write down the things that you're expecting them to do. And ask yourself the question, do those two actually overlap? Are the things that you want them to do the things that they enjoy? And I mean, if you're really gutsy, and I don't think it's that gutsy, like ask them to do it. Ask them to write down, keep track of an entire week. Tell me what part of your day you loved. What did you really enjoy? And tell me what part of your day you just couldn't stand and it's frustrating. You're not very good at it. You understand you have to do it, which is not true, but make that list. And then at the end of the week, ask yourself the question, is there somebody that could do the things they don't like doing and they're not very good at better? And if they are, give it to them. Because there's something that other person might not like that this person might like. You know, I've often talked about it. You know, I like broccoli, you don't. I like cauliflower. Let's exchange. And I want you to try this week to put that lens on that, how am I going to get the people that I lead, either as a parent or as a business leader or in any sort of capacity, how am I going to come to terms, first of all, that these are the things they're really good at? And then secondly, no matter how much I want them to be better at the things they're not good at, it's just not going to happen. You know, I think I may have said here a long time ago that sometime, you know, my mother, you know, when I grew up, it was doctor, engineer, lawyer, accountant, basically. And I don't have any of those skills. Like, I just wasn't wired that way. There's not a hope in hell. Barely paperclip ribbons and bows my way through university. There's only one course that I took that I actually enjoyed and got something out of. And I was in business. I shouldn't have been in business. Should have probably been in psychology in some sort of capacity, sociology or something dealing with humans and interaction, thinking and stuff like that. But I kind of, well, yeah, I guess I got to be that. I got to be that and everything else. So let's just try for a week or maybe 2 weeks or maybe a month. Let's try to not impose what we think people should be doing, what we think they should be working on. Let's actually look at the data and say, you know, this guy's an electrician. I'm not going to have him build my house. I'm going to have him do the electricals. This person's a plumber. I'm going to have him do the plumbing. And let's try to think, let's put this lens on that we look at people from their skill sets. It takes leadership. It takes somebody caring. We should want that for our children. We should want that for our employees. And it's not just going to happen on its own. We have to clear the path, right? It's like saying to your kids, I want you to be honest with me. Well, the difficulty of being honest with someone is you can't react when they're honest, because the first time you react when they're honest, they're never going to be honest again, right? Let's take the time. Let's do the homework. Let's really think about the people, not what you need them to do. Let's think about what they could really excel at, right? And let's stop trying to make people be someone other than who they genetically are. Now, again, for all my naysayers, I'm not talking about the little things in the middle. I'm talking about the things that they're really not good at and they really hate doing. Let's match the actions to the people that enjoy them. I get very nervous when I publicly speak. However, I enjoy it. And I'm nervous right up till I go, showtime. All right, let's go. And I get up and I'm quite comfortable. There are people that a million Dale Carnegies, 1,000 presentation coaches are never going to be comfortable. So why would we put them through that agony? Oh, you got to be, you know, get to the next level. You got to be a great public speaker. Well, why? Is there nobody else who can do the public speaking? Maybe they could be the behind the scene person, you know, type of thing, right? Let's really use this time to free people, to make them comfortable, to let them know that it's okay with you for them to pursue the things they're really good at and to get better at.
Jim, I have to pop in.
Okay.
It is so funny to me how topical these things you bring up are for me when we get together every Friday, because this brings me back to, and I want to pick your brain on this on a personal note, I had a really interesting conversation with my therapist yesterday about what it is that makes me me, and ultimately about how things within our childhood, nature and nurture, will stick with you forever and make you who you are. And it's just the way that it is going to be forever. It is so crazy because you've said it so many times, but then when you hear the biological side of it, like you mentioned about how it's imprinted in your brain to be exactly who you are, like ultimately I can't be the perfect person. The only way I could have been is if my parents were the perfect people who also went to therapy, and their parents were the perfect people who also went to therapy. It's this big cycle of everything kind of just imprints on who you are, and you can't really like expect to change a lot of it sometimes. You just have to embrace
it. Yeah, and that's at the core of what we're talking about, yeah. Right? We are who we are. You know, obviously we can make adjustments. Obviously we can do things, but there's a natural proclivity to the direction we want to go. And I think what happens is sometimes like a pinball machine, you know, people go, no, go this way. No, go this way. This is what's best for you. Well, how do you know what's best for me? You don't even know me. You don't actually really know me, right? I spend an entire lifetime of people telling me, do this, do that. You should do this. You should do that. You should do this. You know, my grade eight teacher, Mr. Dobbs, said, you'll never amount to anything in life. You should go to a technical school, take restaurant management, and work for your family's restaurant businesses. I was like, I hate working in a fucking restaurant. I enjoyed it, but like I hated working in it. And there's no way I should have done it. But this guy had the audacity to think that he knew what was best for me. And you know, throughout my life, I've always had people say to me, you know, you should do this, and you should do that, and you should do this. And you know, at the end, you don't know whether you're coming or going, and it defeats your common comfort level of trusting yourself. And you know, I've tried to parent that way with my kids, right? To, as my son Ed will tell you, one time he told me he wanted to be a lawyer, and I said to him, it's the last thing in the world you should ever be. You don't read enough, you know. And I'm not trying to squash your dream, but you just don't read enough, right? It's not who you are. Daughter Emma and Nora, they love to read. Ed and I aren't big readers type of thing. But, you know, as opposed to, oh, yeah, go ahead, be a lawyer. You know, yeah, yeah. No, like, it's just, no, I am not being a good parent if I'm not telling the truth. And, you know, some people would say, well, you're really squashing their dreams. What's the basis of those dreams? Are they realistic? Sure, there's the one in a million story of someone who, you know, fought their dreams and went off to win a gold medal or something like that. But for the general population, we're not put forward enough and said, this is what you should be pursuing. Follow your nose, follow your comfort level. We do have this DNA print, and it's what we do with that DNA print. So imagine you would be much better off if there's a recognition of that DNA print by ourselves, and early on being able to say, yeah, no, right person, wrong person, right? But we don't, right? We, you know, you should date Todd or Mary, you know. It's this overriding thing that we know better, but we don't. And our parents didn't know better for us. They could advise us, they could help us and everything else. But in the end, we got to figure it all out. We can get guidance and love and everything. But, you know, how can the previous generation know better of what it's like to be a 25-year-old today? I knew what it was like to be a 25-year-old when I was a 25-year-old. And I know what it's like to be a 67-year-old, which is different than when my family were in their 60s. So this presumption that we know better, and it perpetuates itself in companies. I've always said, body of the organization knows more about what's going on than anybody else. How you get to the top, you're just projecting. You're projecting. Your leadership is broader. The tighter leadership is down below in the organization. So do me a favor. Take a moment, please. Make a list. Kids, employees, whatever it is. Think about what you can do to help encourage them to do more of the things that they're really good at and they enjoy doing. Have a great week, everybody. It's Jim Bakiai. Podcast is Be You. The world will adjust.